We have gathered this morning to observe the command that the Lord issued to us that has to do with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ left us this ritual to help us to take some tests and examinations. What he expects is that as we celebrate this, that our mind should be focused on him, his work on the cross, and the fact that he's coming back. All of these are designed to be the object of our focus at this point. So as we begin to celebrate this, it is important that each and every one of us be sure that he or she is in fellowship by merely looking at one's inside soul and be sure that there's no sin that one has not confessed, at least that you know of, and that the Lord will cleanse you. It is an important thing, it's not just a ritual, because there is a warning that those who fail to take this ceremony quite seriously, some have fallen asleep, some have died without knowing why they died, because they played with what we're about to celebrate. And some are sick because they took it lightly. So this is not something that we take lightly. It is true. It is bread and grape juice. But it only symbolizes the great thing that the Lord wants us to do, which is to focus on him, his work on the cross. So for this, it is important that each and every one of us prepare his or her soul ready to celebrate our Lord's Supper. Let's pray. We continue our study on Isaac. We get now to Isaac's prosperity. In verses 12 through 15, Genesis 26, verses 12 through 15, we'll be dealing with Isaac's prosperity. Now in the last section, we encounter the Lord's protection of Isaac, both directly and indirectly, through the decree issued by King Abimelech. Now we interpreted the Lord's protection of Isaac as part of the promise given to him when the Lord promised to be with him. However, the promise that the Lord made to Isaac that we have considered to be a reiteration of the same promise made to his father Abraham contained an element of personal blessing. Now this personal blessing is manifested in verses 12 through 15 that read as follows. Isaac planted crops in the land, in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. There are three principles derived from this passage that we should understand before we even begin our detailed analysis. A fourth principle is this: God's blessing is never limited by our geographical location. God's blessings is never limited by our geographical location. Now, this principle is not only to be found in our passage, but it is actually the same principle that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2 and 3. Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 and 3. Gives us the same principle in a different way. He says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you. In other words, you are the center. It's not where you live. Wherever you go, he says it will accompany you. But look at the key, of course, our subject in the last few weeks. If you obey
the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Now the word city and the word country cover both urban and rural areas, civilized and uncivilized parts of the world. So it doesn't matter where you are. When God starts blessing you, you get it regardless of the location. The second principle is that true wealth, that is a result of God's blessing, is acquired gradually. True wealth that comes from God is acquired gradually. In other words, if the Lord blesses a person so that he becomes wealthy, that wealth is not normally created overnight. Not normally created overnight. Third, God's blessings, or God's blessing to an individual, does not shield him or her from envy. That you are blessed does not shield you from envy. In fact, the more the Lord blesses a believer, the more the devil will attack him through the envy of many people. Now, the first principle that God blessing is never limited by geographical location is derived from verse 12, which says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. Now the expression planted crops is a translation of a Hebrew word that means to sow or to scatter seed. So that literally, the first phrase could be something like this. Isaac sowed in that land. That would be the more literal thing. What Isaac sowed is not stated, but that is understood to be crops or some kind of seed. And that is why the NIV translated the Hebrew word used here as planted crops. There is emphasis on the word land in the Hebrew to show that the land is the land of Gerara. It is the very land that the Lord commanded Isaac to go that formed the place where he farmed during this period. So during the harvest of those crops, Isaac harvested quite plenty of crops, as in the expression, the same year reaped 100-fold. The word year is also emphasized to indicate that it was in his first year in the land of Gerara that Isaac had such a rich harvest. Now the word reap, of course, comes from a Hebrew word that means to attain, to acquire. Now, for those who have different versions, 100-fold is actually translated from two Hebrew words. One, the first Hebrew word has the meaning of gate. Another one has the meaning of 100. So that literally we can say in a different way that attain 100-fold or reap 100-fold. One or the other, it doesn't really matter. The issue is that there is emphasis on the fact that there is great blessings. Now, it is true that harvesting is in view, but what we should not limit our understanding to that of crops. The point is that Isaac acquired more wealth that first year. That's the thing. He acquired more wealth that first year. Now, the reason for increasing the crops and flocks is that the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed Isaac, although he was now in a new location, indicating that geographical location never hinders God's blessing. He had just moved because God instructed him to do so. He obeyed. He moved. And we're told the very first year, look at what happened to him. He got so much crop harvested. Now the second principle, that true wealth comes from the Lord, is gradually acquired, is derived from verse 13. If you have true wealth and it comes from the Lord, we indicated as a principle that it's acquired gradually, and that's from verse 13. It says, the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. The first phrase, the man became rich, is really a summary of the blessing that Isaac received from the Lord, while the rest of the verse indicates that he became wealthy, not overnight, but gradually. That's the key. Now the expression became rich comes from a Hebrew word, gadol, gadol, or gadol, G-A-D-A-L, gadol. This also means to become great or important, to make powerful. That's the meaning, some of the meaning of that word. So the idea here is that Isaac became quite wealthy and influential, as implied later on in verse 16. Now this Hebrew word and its derivative appears three times in this verse. The derivative is expressed in the NIV when he used the expression continued to grow. But the Hebrew word used is gadel, almost the same thing. Except this one continues to E, G-A-D-E-L, gadel, gadel. Gadel means becoming great or rich, or growing up. Now we believe though that the intent of the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us that Isaac's wealth came gradually because of the remaining of verse 13 says, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Now to fully appreciate the principle that we have stated from this verse, let me read it the way it comes literally from the Hebrew. This is the way, without trying to make it smooth for the English reader, this is the way it goes in the Hebrew. And his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Well, if we really look at it, the way they translated it, that's what I gave read you. But if I go back and look at it from the Hebrew, this is where it reads really. It says, and he proceeded to come and becoming great until when he became exceedingly wealthy. Let me repeat the literal reading now. The first one I read was the normal one in the NIV. But this is the literal reading. And he proceeded to come and becoming great until when he became exceedingly wealthy. The word proceed and come, they come from the same Hebrew word, that in one time it can mean to go, next time it can mean to walk. It just depends on the context. Now there are a lot of things in English that we see the same thing in English, but sometimes we just don't really pay close attention. You can think of a word, it's just a stone. If I use the word stone, you have to look at the context so that we have using it. Because I can use it as a noun, he threw the stone at me, or I stoned him. See? So it's the same thing in Hebrew, they have words that it can be used in many, many ways. So in the first case, that this word appeared, I think the best translation is just the way we have done so. And then the second time, it means to come. So the first is he proceeded, and then he came to. Now the point though is that the concept expressed in this verse remains this, that true wealth that comes from the Lord is a gradual process. That's the issue. Now I realize that there are those who inherit great wealth from their parents. Now the principle we have described applies directly to their parents, not those who have inherited it. the principal, because the parents gradually do those wells of whatever that happened to be. Now, as the children, we will say, have the blessing from them, from their parents. But in terms of the principal, we have to go back to the original one that made the wealth or created the wealth. That is the person that that principle applies. That they gradually built that wealth. So the children had not direct blessing, as we would say, but an indirect blessing that came from the Lord through their parents. So in any case, the principle of this verse should though serve as a warning about this idea of becoming wealthy overnight. See, there are many scams that exist about getting rich quick. But a person who understands the principle that we have considered will not be sucked into any of these scams. So when somebody comes to you and tells you, give me 100. In a week, you get by 500. Well, he immediately suspects that. How can that happen? That means you're getting rich quick. And that's not the way God has shown this thing to be the way it happens. Now, when people are greedy, that's why I never, you know, I've heard of people, you know, they've been cheated out for thousands and thousands and so. Never, those things don't appeal to me. And I have sympathy, not because they've lost their faith, but because the person didn't understand that you just don't, those things just don't happen that way. No one gets rich that quick without some kind of thing that's dirty or something. But if you go the way the Lord do them, it's a gradual process. Now, a person who understands this, no matter what will come, with all kinds of good deal, as they call them, you will immediately remember this principle. Say, no, wealth comes gradually. For me to give you $100 today and next a week later get 500 doesn't sound right. Some wrong, and that is usually the case. Now, furthermore, this principle should be an encouragement to all of us that if the Lord wants to bless us materially, He will do it gradually, not overnight. Every one of us should understand that. Now, in this way, you know, if you understand that, let's be sure. One of the implications is that we become content with where we are right now. We become content, gradually growing in the accumulation of material things. Now, I want to emphasize this point because many young couples have got themselves into financial difficulties because they want to have exactly, or sometimes more, of the material things that their parents have. But what they forgot is that it took their parents so many years to get where they are now. Now let me illustrate this with this matter of, you know, owning a home. You know, you see many young couples want to start their life with these large homes, expensive homes, because their parents have them, or because their friends have them. However, they do not stop to think of how or how long their parents and their friends have walked before they could afford that expensive home. See, all I'm saying is that if we live by biblical principles, we'll be blessed at the right time without undue pain and suffering in arriving at the great wealth that the Lord has for us. Now, as I think about this passage I'm going to quote to you now, I think about something that happened, I think it was 95. I had gone to a conference in Chicago. I went to a place about the trend of when they do one of the, can't say much about it, where they do some research about certain things. Anyway, so I went up there, and all those that live around there, all of them were all almost, can all say, you probably find one or two that were in a PhD holder. They're all of them PhD researchers in this area. Well, look at the homes here. All the homes, you can hardly find a home less than 400,000. And so the friend I had gone to see, and we were just talking about it, he said, the sick thing about it, he said, you can hardly find any of these people at home. Because every one of them is working two jobs, including their wives. Yes. You cannot have that without paying for it. So what's the result? Children. You have all these children growing up, raising themselves. No wonder. Anyway. They will leave it there. But the point I'm making is this, that once you go trying to see those kind of things without knowing the price that's being paid, you deceive yourself. Those people are, know that they pay great price. To me, I wouldn't consider that a great blessing. Now that I was living in a $1 million home, I have to almost sleep only 2 or 3 hours a night. I wouldn't consider that a blessing. Because in my mind, it flies at the face of Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. It says, or reads, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. But look at the other part of it. And he adds no trouble to it. So, my friend, if you think you're blessed, you have this material success, and there's trouble with it, think again. It's not for me. Something has gone wrong. Because it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. Now, it doesn't mean you don't work hard, don't get me wrong. Now, all I'm saying is, if you have to live under pressure all the time, under pain, ready to explode, somebody's money, you explode. Hello, you explode. Whatever, you're just exploding for everything. My friend, that doesn't come from the Lord. Because as we said, if the blessing comes from the Lord, he has no trouble to it. Well, the third principle that God's blessing of wealth does not shield anyone from envy is derived from verse 14, where we're starting, Genesis 26. Verse 14 says, he has so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Now, to give us a sense of how wealthy Isaac had become, the Holy Spirit, through the human author, writes, he had so many flocks and herds and servants. Now, a literal translation from the Hebrew is, this is the way it goes. And it happened to him, possession of cattle and possession of ox and much body of servants. So this, the reason is because the Hebrew words used here, one of them means life, livestock. Can also mean riches or wealth. And the word cattle itself comes from another Hebrew word that means sheep and goats or flocks. Whereas we have another word that is not really translated directly, is the word ox. In the Hebrew word for ox. And then it says he has body of servants, meaning has a lot of people working for him. The idea here, though, is to make us aware that Isaac had many kinds of livestock, such as sheep and goat and cattle. Wealth at this time was measured primarily in terms of the size of a person's livestock and the number of servants that a person has. So a large number of servants will mean that the person will also grow a large crop. So by every standard of measure of wealth at that time, Isaac was very wealthy. Of course, we should also remember that Isaac inherited some part of his wealth from his father Abraham. So, but what we do see is that the Lord added to what he inherited from his father, making him a very wealthy person. Now, it is important for us to remember that not all that inherit wealth remain wealthy. For you see, some squander their wealth in a very short time. But the wise that inherit any kind of wealth, they will work hard in order to make that wealth grow. In case of Isaac, the Lord just poured blessing upon blessing. So, our God wants to do the same thing for us if we will be obedient to him. Isaac's wealth created for him envy of the Philistines. As in the first verse, the Philistines envied him. Now, it is from this phrase that we derived our thought principle that the Lord's blessings do not mean that the blessed will be sheltered from envy. Although the Lord does not shield us from envy or those who are blessed, nevertheless, he protects the believer from the effect of envy. The word envy is from a Hebrew word, kana. Kana. Q-A-N-A. Kana. It means to be jealous as well. To be envious. To emulate. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary, the basic sense of this word is the act of advancing one's right to the exclusion of the rights of others. In other words, self exclude others. Now, it is true that envy and jealousy are sometimes used as if they are synonymous, but really there's a slight difference between them. Envy is the desire to deprive a person what he has. That's envy. The desire to deprive. While jealousy is the desire to have the same type of things that another person has without actually depriving them. So you see, people become jealous. They want to get the same thing. But when they get to be envious, they want to deprive the person what they have. So quite often, people are jealous of other people, but without realizing the time or effort an individual has put in acquiring what he has. Many people have material wealth because of hard work and great sacrifice. But there are, of course, people who want what they have without realizing that those whom they are very jealous of have sacrificed quite a bit. Now, since blessing is from the Lord, it does not make sense, though, for anyone to be jealous of another person. A person who is jealous of another individual is just creating problems for himself or herself. In any case, here, the Philistines, they were not just jealous, but they actually were envious of Isaac. We say this because they wanted to deprive him. Remember I explained, jealousy, you want something other people have. Envy, you want to deprive them. So that's why we say they were also jealous but envious. According to verse 15, it says, so all the wealth that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Now we know that Abraham had dug wells during his stay in Gerara, for Abraham had complained about that well. If you recall, we studied a long time ago in Genesis 21, verse 25 and 26. Genesis 21, verse 25. So we know there was some well dug Here it says, then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servant had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So there were some wells existing at the time of Abraham in that area. So apparently, Isaac himself knew about these wells that belonged to his father. Now, since Gerar was quite near where Isaac originally lived, it might well have been that his servants used these wells before the death of Abraham and before he actually moved to Gerar. In any case, during the time he was in Gerar, his servants used the same wells. See, water is a very important commodity, not only for human consumption, but for agriculture. So the Philistines, being not only jealous, but envious of Isaac, wanted to deprive him of the source of water. It is for this reason that they sought to stop the wells by putting all kinds of things in the water or in the well, because the word altar there comes from a Hebrew word, apha. Apha. A-P-H-A-R. Apha, A-P-H-A-R. It means dry earth. Can also mean ashes or rubbish, debris. Hence, what these Philistines tried to do was to stop up the wells by filling them with dry earth and any kind of rubbish they could find, so that the servants could not get to this water. Because they figured that, you know, in their mind, it's because they have all this well, that they have all this water, that's why their crops are doing so well and their cattle are increasing. So it is this effort that caused us to really realize that the Philistines were envious, because they sought to deprive Isaac what they thought was the source of his blessing. Of course, this is where they went, where they were wrong. The source of Isaac's blessing is the Lord, and therefore there's nothing that they could do to stop that. Envy will lead to a person being irrational. For you see, if the Philistines stopped up the well, that does not mean that they will take over the cattle and the many servants of Isaac. So they were being just irrational for nothing. See, many people who are envious of other people, they do not realize how foolish it is to be envious of another person. For even if the person were deprived of what he has, well, it will not actually belong to the one filled with envy. So the problem is that people who are envious of other people become candidates for greater evils such as murder and theft. It is only through theft that another person's property or wealth could belong to the envious individual. But for the most people, they do not want to go to that extent, so they simply suffer mentally because of this horrible sin of envy. So we should avoid envy because of its disastrous effect. For one thing, envy affects the body of the individual who is guilty of it. This we know from numerous passages of the Bible, but let me just mention one. Job chapter 5 verse 2. Job chapter 5 verse 2 says, resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. So we see it's not useful to be envious. Furthermore, if you recall a passage long time, we looked at it in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30, where it says, a heart of peace gives life, But envy rots the bones. So it is not useful for anyone to get themselves involved in any kind of envy. So again, as believers, we should endeavor then to avoid anything that will resemble jealousy or envy, because the price one has to pay for such a sin is too high. So in any case, as we end this section, let me again remind us of this three principles. God's blessings will never be limited by your geographical location. So don't be afraid to go wherever God sends you, because your blessings will go with you. Secondly, true wealth from God's blessing will always come to you gradually. And finally, God's blessing will not shield you from envy, but God is going to protect you from the effects of envy. There are many, many believers that the Lord bless, and people try to destroy them. One thing they don't know, and at least people that I know, I've known quite some people who are wealthy, there's not one of them that didn't work hard. It didn't come just overnight. They all work hard. And yet, people are there being quite jealous of them, being envious of them. But my friend, if you're one of those that's a believer, you can remain assured. No matter what people think, say, they will not hurt you until when it is time for you to depart from this planet. Other than that, man can be envious, jealous of you, he's not going to do anything. So this is the thing that we learn from Isaac's prosperity. And so, should be also encouraging and a challenge to each and every one of us. Let's pray. As we close our study this morning, there may be someone here without life and without hope. If it's the person who has never really trusted Christ as his or her Savior, we want you to know that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. He took every sin that you have committed, will ever commit, and died for them. So that the only thing left for you is to trust in Him who paid that ultimate sacrifice for you. So the Bible says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by believing through His name, you have eternal life. As many as receive Him, to them has He given the power to become the sons of God, even those who trust in His name. Trust in His name, and you have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of Your Word. We just pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to challenge us to the truth that we have studied. For we ask in Christ's name, Amen.